Like he's been there or thereabouts in the last few years, and same with John, his brother. Obviously Joseph is as an established senior in the Galway team, but last year I thought was the year Kevin Cooney really nailed down a, I won't even say nailed down a spot, and it was even something that Henry Shefflin mentioned as well. He nailed down a position in attack, but had the versatility that they could move him around as need be, which must be absolutely invaluable and at any team or at any time, but certainly in the modern era where you have that continuous movement in it. So like he was a nailed on starter in the Galway attack this year, and now he may make the last bit of it. I think Henry Shefflin summed it up when he said, look, if this happened 2 weeks from now, he'd be ruled out for the year. So what's he telling us? He's going to be back for an All-Ireland final if they get there.
The Maroon and White Pod, brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
So on this week's episode, I'm delighted to be joined by sports journalist John Fallon to look back on Galway's comfortable victory over Westmeath in the opening round of the National Hurling League, where Galway ran out winners on a scoreline of 431 to 12 points. John, before we get into the game, just from reading the match reports that you did on that particular game over the weekend, 700 tickets sold before the match. It was really that was really kind of eye-opening for a opening game in the Allianz Hurling League, where usually you'd have a lot of excitement about the season get going.
Yeah, you've absolutely. I must say I wasn't surprised by it. In a way, I was nearly surprised there was 700 people willing to fork out and travel across Galway City on a Saturday afternoon. Because it was so inevitable what the outcome was going to be. So on the pitch, it was a difficult sell, and then I think off the pitch, it was also a difficult sell in terms of the lack of promotion around the both of the leagues. Like the previous week, you had Damien Comer of Galway and Killeen O'Connor of Mayo were the only players put forward. Damien Comer didn't even play in the match. Killeen O'Connor didn't start it. And I think this week we had somebody from Tip and somebody from Kilkenny. I don't even remember. That's Richie Reid was up in one of them. But it's just every year, just that lack of promotion nationally and the lack of promotion locally as well. And, it was only afterwards. I think we had an interview with Henry Shefflin for 5 minutes after the match, most of which was dominated by local radio. And it was only an afterthought I asked him, had he decided on a captain for the year? And we were informed that Conor Whelan has become the Galway captain and Conor Cooney has become the vice captain and Dathi Burke is no longer the captain. And I think at about 10 o'clock on Saturday night, it was tweeted that Galway had appointed a new captain. And you're just sort of thinking, imagine if you'd brought that back a bit further at the start of the week and maybe had something in Kinvara, because maybe I'm not sure whether Conor is the first Kinvara man to captain Galway for a season. I'm sure maybe Gerry Mack or Colin Callan may have done it at, for a one-off match or any of that. But imagine a scenario where you had a new Galway captain being unveiled in his home village and maybe Conor Cooney coming across from Thomas's and a bit of hype and a bit of. It should mean something. It should mean something to be made captain of Galway rather than it just being announced in an afterthought. And equally so, the new captain of Galway, I think, should step forward. I know one of the lads from Galway Bay asked him for an interview on the way in and it was declined. And you're just sort of thinking, don't be surprised if you're getting small crowds, if you're not willing to make an effort to actually sell the product that we all love. We all love watching. We're all part of it. But I would say there's people heard that scoreline last Saturday and realized for the first time that Galway had started their league campaign for the new year. So I do think there's an onus nationally. I think there's an even bigger onus locally. And I think there's an onus around the team itself, both hurling and football. And we see it, we'll say with Connacht Rugby, which has won one trophy in 130 years. But like all the rugby team, and I know it because I work in all of that, and look at the level of promotion they do amongst all their players. And, nobody that's ever stepped forward and done an interview has ever gone out and played badly or I don't know why. I don't know why, because they're confident as players. I would imagine they're intelligent people as well. And I think the GAA needs to wake up and see what's happening. Now, I just one other part of football. There was a thing before the game where one of the Galway players went down injured, and he was coming off, and none of us in the press box recognised him. We couldn't see his number. His helmet was off. And I asked the other guys, you know, they'd be more involved with club and stuff like that. We don't know who he was. And I think it's an indictment in many ways, you know, that you have somebody playing for Galway and the people locally who are reporting on it can't even recognize him. Like he obviously had stepped forward, but because players are wearing helmets and face guards and we only ever get to see them when they're out on the pitch, they become absolutely anonymous when they take off the number or any of that. You know, hopefully we will in that part of it. And just I was reading something last week that again, I think should be a wake-up call. And when we talk about the GAA nationally, I think we're talking about it locally even more so because they're in a position to go and do something about all this. But last year, the television viewing audience for Ireland and Tonga was bigger than watch the All-Ireland hurling final. Like, that's crazy stuff. So, as you said, the opening part of it, 700. I'm not even sure if there was 700 there. Maybe if you see, you don't amble up either. You got to buy a ticket in advance. I know there is some sort of mechanism you can do all of that, but it's not exactly very easy or friendly. It's not encouraging somebody walking the prom to suddenly go up one because they don't know whether they can get a ticket or not into it as well. So that part of it, obviously, who they were playing Saturday afternoon, an inevitable outcome. Like that Westmeath team, they had only about half
Yeah, they
of.
were down 12 players or something, wasn't
Well,
it?
I think I was trying to work it out. The team that beat Wexford in the championship last year, I think there were eight of the team that started against Wexford did not start last week, around about half or whatever. I spoke to Joe Fortune, their manager, afterwards, and he was going through them. He nearly has all of that squad. Davy Glennon, who obviously from this parish, as it were, he's injured at the moment, but he's very much a part of it. I think they've lost just Derek McNicholas, who may come back again as he usually does, or Niall O'Brien. See, they have a lot of that, but they were very under strength. And there was three or four of their players making their league debuts at that level as well. So it wasn't even the strongest Westmeath team. And we saw last year, I think Galway played Westmeath, if I'm not mistaken, three times and beat them sort of 25, 30 points each time. So a very low-key start. And noticed with Shefflin after, he was quite annoyed with the performance. You win by 31 points and he's still annoyed in it. And both he and his players are in sort of a no-win scenario because if they only won by a point, there'd be all alarm bells, all sorts of stuff going off, or heaven forbid they'd been beaten or anything. And then just by winning by a major score, I think the first thing they'd be looking at is all the goal chances they left behind them rather than the four they got. So it's just a very, very flat occasion, a very, very flat start, what essentially is the 2024 season. And suddenly it gets turned on its head and you got to go to Thurles next Sunday. And that was no preparation for going to Thurles next Sunday. I think Shefflin knew that and I think his players knew it as well. So it just all in all was just it was very hard to get excited about last Saturday, and I don't think any of us did, to be perfectly honest.
Absolutely, from being there too, I was on the terrace, and I think you could nearly spot everyone who was on the terrace. There was such a small crowd at that game. It's probably a bit disappointing in one sense, John, because they only get one more home game this year in the league. Obviously, with away games against Antrim, Limerick, and obviously Tipton next Sunday, like Dublin. I think it's start of March is going to be their last home game of the National League.
Yeah, and like the league, as we know, is being restructured. I'm not so sure they're going to find the right solution either. It's actually hard enough to follow an awful lot of it. But you know, you look at it, you want to, on one hand, you want to promote, you want to widen the hurling family, as they might call it. There's just far too many counties playing it, far too many at a competitive level. We had all the hoo-ha about five teams not even at one stage going in to participate in this league. I think if we look at the football equivalent, we see where the National Football League across all four divisions is actually very, very good competition. Even if If it's Division 3, Division 4, Division 2 is probably the best of the whole lot of them. You have teams going up, teams go down. We saw it with Galway in the last couple of years. And you speak to somebody like Andy Morden and Leitrim, he'll tell you this is our championship. It's the National League is the championship for Leitrim. That's where they have a chance to win matches. That's where they can do stuff. They know their championship is going to be limited within it. But what you generally tend to get is most matches or a lot of matches are quite even. It's almost like they're handicapped properly. It's like within them. But in hurling, it's the other way because there probably aren't enough teams at that level. But maybe there are the old way where they had basically six teams or in the Division One and you had six in Division Two and those six in Division One, six or eight, whatever it might be, would all tend to be, you'd have Cork playing Wexford, Limerick playing Clare, so on and so forth. They'd all be even matches. You might get one, odd team in it, or more to the point, you'd get maybe a strong team in Division Two, but it tended, I thought, to lead to a higher standard of game and better teams. I thought it helped develop hurling in a lot of the other counties, the Westmeaths, the Antrims, the Leashes, a lot of these I thought improved an awful lot more from having balanced games. Westmeath losing by 31 points the last day. They're playing Limerick this weekend.
Like surely, just on that on Saturday, I don't think that stands to Galway or Westmeath when we just consider the game that was there. It was probably for Westmeath, we're probably happy in one sense with the first half when you see 15-6, but then when you see the final scoreline, like that's not bringing Westmeath on really, and is it bringing
Course not.
Galway on?
Of course not. How could it be? They actually had a. Now, again, their manager, Joe Fortune, was saying at least this year with no relegation, there's no jeopardy. It allows him actually go and send out essentially a half-strength team against Galway, knowing they're going to get a hammer. And he more or less said, whether we send out our strongest team or a half team, we're going to get a hammering anyway. So we may as well learn from that. And there was one, like David O'Reilly came on, scored 2 points. That was his league debut. And for a player like that to come on against, Galway and get two good points from play and look fairly sharp, I thought as well. That's going to help him an awful lot. But who was the Galway player that benefited from that, would say we can go out and do that next week? And it's impossible to find one, to be perfectly honest. It's in terms of developing a settled team, now we still have a few more players to come back into it, and you've the Thomas's lads or whatever. But this league clicks along very quickly. As you said, there's only one more home match, two more away ones after next weekend, and then you're into championship. And how many of that Galway team that started last Saturday, how many of the one against Wexford the previous week, at what stage do you stop sort of experimenting? Is TJ Brennan going to be your fullback for the year? Or is almost the inevitable going to happen that Daithí Burke will slot back there and Gerry McInerney will come into centre back? You're running out of, even though it's only started, you're almost running out of games to actually decide, who's ready for stuff like that. So nobody benefits, certainly not Galway, certainly not Galway. I think Shefflin could see that. The Noel Connolly, the Westmeath goalkeeper, was my man of the match anyway. I thought he was outstanding, some of the saves he produced. But had Galway scored 10 goals, would they be happy? And that's what they should have done. There was
Yeah.
6 point blank saves, I thought, that another day, a lesser goalie would not have saved them. But is that the second of three penalties so far this year that's been missed as well? I think that's where the frustration from Shefflin, and I think from a lot of the Galway supporters that were there as well, like this all flow into it. We didn't need last Saturday to show us that Evan Ireland is one of the best free takers in the country, and he's your nailed on. He can do it. Is he still going to be the free taker when Conor Cooney comes back, who's now the vice captain? I don't know. So it's. I think we'll be an awful lot wiser after next Sunday. And I think a lot of guys. The higher tempo against Tipperary, I think, will suit an awful lot of Galway players as well because they're more accustomed to playing at that level than the last day. As you said, Westmeath, in fairness, they hurled very well, I thought, in the first half against the Breeze. Yet half a notion if they're going to score at the start or two at the second half, could there be something on here? But I think they emptied the tank in that opening half and trying to contain Galway, and then just the floodgates. And in fairness, Galway hurled better against the wind, and I think we always knew they would. It was holding up that bit better. That often like that, the better team in a mismatch will do better against the wind than actually with it, and so it transpired. But you know, they couldn't win, they couldn't lose. They had to go out and put up a big score. They put up a very big score, and yet there could be very little satisfaction out of it either. And that was Henry Shefflin set that tone himself afterwards, more so than anybody else.
Is there any kind of positives that we can take away from it, or and
I
did it
think
stood out to you?
absolutely. I mean, you had what was the 12 players scored? You know, guys like Donal O'Shea, Gavin Lee, I thought good games. Sean Lennon into there. Tom Monaghan looked to be back through as well. On another day, Declan McLaughlin would have got a couple of those goals.
Yeah.
He got a bit of a knock, came off. He's playing Fitzgibbon again. Then they're trying to manage their way through that. What we want to see is we want to see these players on Thurles next Sunday. And
Yeah.
that's when you start seeing. So I suppose you'd say, to put it a different way, you'd say, well, if they can't stand out against Westmeath, they haven't to hope in hell of doing it against Tipperary. In fairness, Galway hurled very well and to chalk up that score. It's just who it was against meant there was more question marks than anything else. Like there is actually a very, very exciting squad there for Galway. Like when you look at what's there and you look, we'll say, the Thomas's lads, and the likes of Jerry McInerney and a few more of these, Cathal Mannion, he was the Mayorishka the last day. A lot of these lads yet to come back into it. And you say, you know, there is a good squad there. But what you need to do between now and the Leinster Championship is gel that into not even a 15, because it's more than that now. But who's sort of your first 20? And who are your main positions into that? And there's a short run of game. It's an exciting time because everybody knows there's a serious squad there. It's just to get the quality of games to actually, you know, really gel that together. And as I said, it's next Sunday that'll start telling us a bit more about that.
Two younger players you mentioned there, Gavin Lee, I thought was exceptional at the weekend. You can tell as well during this off season he's really put on a bit of size compared to when he started out in this panel. But so good, I think he scored for the 5 points the last day from play, really popped up.
I'm down for four.
Yeah, well, it might have been four, I could be wrong there now. But he's really started this season well.
Absolutely. And like he's a guy, you know, it's a few years now since he came into it. And he was brought in so young. And then, you know, sometimes for college and sometimes for Clarendon Bridge or whatever. And I just always felt there was a huge level of expectation around him. And that was often sometimes difficult to see within that, you know, were they looking to carry this through in it? And I thought as well against Laois in the Walsh Cup, and he formed a very good partnership with Donal O'Shea that day as well. And O'Shea's, you know, is that his position as well? Like, he's delivered an awful lot of quality ball. I think if we go back to that Laois match, if I'm not mistaken, he was the final pass or the key pass in four of the goals that day.
That's
The
the
effort
thing
he
with
delivered.
Donal O'Shea, though, isn't it? It's his distribution that just puts him on
Oh,
another level.
absolutely. Like the delivery for Jason Flynn's opening goal the last day. To me, it looked absolutely purposeful. That wasn't a shot for a point dropping short. That was just the way he lobbed that in. In fairness to Flynn, he finished it magnificently. But go back to Gavin Lee. I think, yes, physically and everything. And I thought that sort of giving him that bit of roaming space as well, you could see why everybody has been so excited about him coming right up. Personally, I didn't always see that. Maybe it was just the matches I was covering, whether it was up in Dangan or whatever. You could see that developing. And like, what an exciting prospect it would be if, you know, this is the year he comes through as a senior there. And certainly, in fairness to Henry Shefflin and his management, they're giving him that space, and they're giving that space to O'Shea. I'm really looking forward to seeing them next Sunday, and hopefully they're there and get that opportunity to go with it. And similarly, likes of Declan McLaughlin as well, that, He Galway need goals and they need championship goals, and they can't be dependent upon Conor Whelan producing that sort of trademark goal that he got the last day. They need others getting in there and scoring those. So those there's a lot of excitement around the team. As I said, the you go back, like say Keenan Fahey at right half back has turned in a few great performances as well.
He really looks at. We were only referencing him with Cyril Farrell there 2 weeks ago. He's talking about the Walsh Cup, but Keenan Fahey, since he's moved back to the half back line, he's just looked a different player.
Yeah, we've seen that before in other players where they're actually facing the ball.
Yeah.
It is really, really the revel within that part of it. And going forward, like, what was he doing up there to finish home the rebound for the goal? It looks like he was hanging out there as corner forward as well. I certainly didn't see him making a run right through to it, but his positioning to take quick puck outs and everything. It helped, of course, his brother was in goal as well. But I just, again, he's another player. I'm dying to see him tested in the likes of Semple Stadium or down in the Gaelic grounds, or when you go into Leinster Championship and stuff like that, and hope that can develop with it. And I think, often you'll get players like that will revel as it steps up. So that's what I'm saying. It's understandable there's a lot of excitement around that. I just think, as I said at the outset, both on and off the field, I think we need to up the tempo a bit on all of this and as a collective and build from it. But there's certainly huge positives around it. I mean, it's hard to find the negatives in that regard, other than that there isn't a settled team. And hand on your heart, is there a position on the field that you can say right now, well, he's definitely the goalie? They're definitely going with Fahey, or they're going with Murphy, or they're going with who at fullback. We know, probably 10 players that will be there come championship time. I don't think we know a single one of them, what position any of them, even those 10, would be in. And I know the modern game is much more fluid in it as well, and I'd be a bit more old school in the sense that you need to sort of nail down your central positions and build your team around that or whatever. And I know that has moved on a bit from it as well, but Limerick have moved around, but they tend to be a lot more settled. And let's face it, they're the benchmark for everybody in this. But again, back to the next few weeks will probably tell us an awful lot, and I think you'll get an awful lot more than 700 Galway supporters. Get more than that going to Thurles next Sunday, because they know this will be worth watching, and they'll learn a lot from it.
Absolutely, that's a huge game to look forward to. We will touch on that in a couple of minutes. But just there was kind of you talked there, it was nearly, I suppose, when you were doing the interviews, it was nearly like you were getting, I suppose, a lot of new content that you weren't aware of. But Kevin Cooney was one that was dropped, the news there about that he's a serious hamstring injury.
It wasn't dropped from the squad.
Yeah,
He was,
no, not
yeah,
the news was dropped.
an awful blow, because on two counts like that as well, he's been there, like he's been there thereabouts in the last few years. And same with John, his brother. Obviously Joseph is as an established senior in the Galway team, but last year I thought was the year Kevin Cooney really nailed down a, I won't even say nailed down a spot, and it was even something that Henry Shefflin mentioned as well. He nailed down a position in attack, but had the versatility that they could move him around as need be, which must be absolutely invaluable and at any team or at any time, but certainly in the modern era where you have that continuous movement in it. So, like, he was a nailed on starter in the Galway attack this year, and now he may make the last bit of it. I think Henry Shefflin summed it up when he said, look, if this happened 2 weeks from now, he'd be ruled out for the year. So what's he telling us? He's going to be back for an All-Ireland final if they get there. It's that
It kind of seems like it could be similar to Jason Flynn's
very
injury
much
he
so,
had
very much
last
so.
year.
And I'm not a medic, but generally the history of hamstring injuries is surgery, which is not that common for that injury, but even when it does happen, hamstring injury by their nature are very difficult. It's not like a break or something like that, where there's a structure time aspect of it. It's in the laps of the gods, really. And you're sort of reading between the lines, and you're sort of saying, if this guy's back for the club championship, fully fit for Sarsfields, that's probably the more realistic part of it. Huge blow for him. Huge blow for him. Huge blow for, well, Sarsfields will have him back, but a big blow for Galway as well, because you could see, and you could see the, even the way Shefflin was speaking about him, he had huge time from that. He had him earmarked for a lot this year. So to lose a player, lose that player, that quality, this earlier in the year is a big blow. And he had surgery last Friday, I believe. Hopefully that has been a success, and he makes the run, the road to recovery in it. But it's horrible for any player at the outset of a year, but particularly somebody that has sort of had that, the big breakthrough year, as we might call it, last summer. And just when you're going to build upon it, and the excitement that'll be offered around that, to suffer something like that is a horrible, horrible setback. It's a horrible setback, and I wish him well and hope he's back sooner rather than later in it. Because he's an exciting player to watch as well.
Even with that, we had Alan Kearns on the podcast last year, and I asked him the question, what was Galway's biggest positive in 2023? And really, it was Kevin, as he said, it was Kevin Cooney's performances.
Wow, it's interesting. It's, you could see it, because I think it's always, and I played with his father many, many years ago, and I think the one thing always about the Coonies, even when they were at their brilliance, you always felt there was even another layer to them. Even when they were with their clubs, all the his uncles and that, they were always looked like ones who were capable of stepping up to another level. And you just felt that with Kevin last year, that he had a lot to build on this year. And hopefully, who knows, maybe he will be one of the lucky ones and get back, for the latter stages of the championship. And it'd be a great boost for Galway to get somebody like that coming back to it. He loses a bit of ground as well at the same time. Like, there's the rehab, the recovery of it is sort of preventing that further progress. It happens to all of them, unfortunately. I just hope for him and for Galway, that he makes a successful recovery first of all, and that he gets back to build on that. But that's, I think everyone could have done without that news last
Yeah.
week. It was at a time when they're trimming the panel as well. There was four or five or six, seven players, I think,
Seven, yeah.
cut from it last week. Again, I asked Henry at the end of it, and I apologize for putting him on the spot, but it's the only way we're going to find out is by asking the manager in that situation, and it's the only way supporters are going to find it out if we go on and ask them. So I think he was afraid he was going to leave a player out, and that's understandable as well. But I think that whole promotion and handling and the communications in GA teams in general, I think leaves an awful lot to be desired. I think if somebody's brought into a county team, people should know about it. If they're being let go from it for now, they should be as well. If you're announcing your captain, announce your captain. Bring him forward.
Particularly because if you name a championship panel, that can't be that big of a deal to name a league panel, because
Well,
more than likely
apparently,
it stays the same. Or...
well, I he told us afterwards that there's 36 players in it, and
Yeah.
I was coming away from it, and I was saying, well, I have 24 from this match program. Who are the other 12? I had a few definite nailed on with it, as in Mannion and McInerney and all that. And then I'm trying to second guess who's in from Thomas's. And the reality is, I don't know. You will not find that list of 36 players readily available on a website or notice board or whatever. So we'll have to wait till the next day and start counting through them. And in this day and age, I think it's just an archaic way to do business, to be quite honest. If somebody is in there, maybe there's a surprise person in that 36. I think it'd be lovely if people knew it. I think it'd be lovely if their clubs did. I know. In the case, I live in Salt Hill, I played with Salt Hill. I know they take such huge pride in Donal O'Shea lining out at midfield in National League match, and Salt Hill Knocknacarra is beside him, is clubbing it or whatever. And quality guy coming off the field the last day, did his interview, Os Gaeilge, with Reading na Gaeilge, that then kept going. It didn't knock a thing out of him, high up or low down. This just well able to do all of that.
Yeah, from what I've heard with the Thomas's lads, it's David Burke, Fintan Burke, Shane Cooney, Conor Cooney, and their goalkeeper Jerry Kelly has been drafted into the panel as well. So
Oh.
that'll be an interesting one after.
No room for the All-Ireland final hero, the point of
But
the year.
I haven't heard until now,
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I
It'll be
not
interesting, like whether he's in
yeah.
or not. It's one of the most astonishing scores I've ever seen to win any match in any sport. I somebody replayed it or somewhere on social media. Wow, like when you look at
Yeah.
it's all around that. And I if he's not there, he's not there. But again, it'd be nice if people knew it. You know, it's
Just from the players that were let go, Henry Shefflin confirmed in the interview after the game that Martin McManus, Craig Thomas, Alex Kinnaird, Oisín Samán, Adrian Prendergast, and David Kincannon and Sean O'Hanlon have been let go from the panel. It's extremely difficult for those lads because they went in this year, all seven of those players who were let go, looking to kind of make their breakthrough and commit to this cause. And in the end of January, to be given that news, like it's difficult for those players
yeah,
now.
in fairness, two of them, Oisín Samán and Adrian Prendergast, are injured.
Okay.
It was injuries. He clarified that part of it. I wasn't aware of whether it was injuries with any of the others. It is, at the same time, you know, the nature of the beast for the Walsh Cup, extra players are brought in. Some are retained, some aren't. It's not as if they're cast away and you know, that's it. The thing is, there's so little club action now, because it's condensed, that there's very little opportunity in this cycle of games to be seen and to get that opportunity to go back in. I think in some cases, some players would be, I think they'd be delighted to find themselves in January that they're at that level, that they're being considered for it, and maybe, you know, they push on now either through Fitzgibbon or through club or into the club championships later in the year. You know, and that they're on the correct pathway within that. You know, Sean O'Hanlon, I thought, you know, I hadn't seen all of the Walsh Cup ones. Like, I've no doubt if injuries arise, they're sort of the next step coming back into it. It's difficult, but at the same time, I think, you know, nobody is in there in a January competition, knowing the quality of players that haven't been recalled, and that everybody's going to be retained within it. So, you know, it's not nice. We've all been there. We've all thought we should have made the cut. It doesn't always happen. I was in a minor squad that was cut by three, and I was one of the three in the last cut of it. I thought I'd made it, and didn't. And of course you feel you should. And of course what you're doing is you're looking at the names that are in ahead of you and you think, God, I thought I was ahead of him and all that. It's nature of sport. And it's of course it's not nice. But I think equally guys knows that they are being noticed and will continue to be this year. And I think, you know, you would have seen it as well. And not just this management team, but previous ones as well. They really do get around and look at the club games and follow all of that. And you know, I often thought, and this is going back many years, and gosh, they must never see home because they're right there through it. So if lads are putting their hands up, I think they will get the opportunity. But as you said, for those seven, or particularly the five that aren't injured, not what you want to be hearing. And hopefully they will channel that to get back in there, and you know, go from there with it. That's what you're hoping for.
Something else you touched on earlier that was revealed after the game, Conor Whelan being confirmed as goal captain. I don't think anyone has kind of any argument with this. The performances he's given for Galway over the last couple of years deservedly has him captain for 2024.
Absolutely. And he's been vice captain as well for the last few years. So it's not, I just wonder, I often find it difficult to find out what exactly is the role of a captain in Gaelic football or hurling. I'm quite clear what the role is in rugby. And it has quite clearly laid out roles on and off the pitch and the go-to part of it and leadership group and all that. I'm never quite sure where exactly it sits. Why is a hurling manager? Why does a manager or his selectors, why do they pick a particular person? Is it for something they're going to do in the dressing room? Is it for their style of play? Is it for their communication skills? Is it for the way they knit it together? And maybe it differs from county to county. Like, it's almost impossible to visualize Limerick without Declan Hannan being their captain. He seems the most natural person in it. He talks Limerick hurling magnificently. I think he sets the tone and always has, not just from the one multiple All-Irelands, but he just seemed to set the tone. And when he's interviewed, when any of that, it just the way he carries himself right through. So you can see what John Kiely was looking for there. Like, what a goal we're looking for from Conor Whelan. Are they making him, he's being made captain in the hope he's going to produce more on the pitch? That'd be a silly approach to take too, because he contributes enormously to it. So what exactly the role holds in Galway or any other team, I honestly not sure what they're looking for in that regard. There was no light shed on that on Saturday as to why he was chosen or to why Daithí Burke was relieved of it. I was thinking afterwards then, he's the first forward to captain the Galway hurlers, isn't he, in recent years. I think in nearly, do you have to go back to Joe Canning for the last forward that was a Galway captain? I've set you thinking now as well.
It
I'm
has, yeah.
classing David Burke as a midfielder. So I don't know if there's any different dynamic in that, or is Shefflin see more within that, but I'm not entirely sure what is expected of Conor Whelan as captain. What's he hoping to do? Or is it maybe it's not as important? Certainly the way they announced it and all that suggested it wasn't a very important role, to be quite honest. Within Conor Cooney as vice captain, does your vice captain start every match? Is he going to be your free taker as well? Does it, or are we reading too much into that? The reality of it is Conor Cooney has been the most successful captain in Galway club hurling we've ever seen. I know back somebody did it before, not all in the one go back in decades ago with Castlegar. But for somebody to come through in the modern era and captain his club to six county titles in a row and lead on and off the pitch in the manner which he did, I think his role, like, they see absolutely no reason, more than Declan Hannan in Limerick, they see absolutely no, why would you change something that's working so well? I often notice, God knows we've watched him enough times lifting trophies, but he always seems to capture the moment in his post-match speeches. He always just seems to nail where that team is and where they are at that point in time. And I think he just carries that part of it extremely well. So you can see the value in him being a Galway vice captain, or indeed being a Galway captain right through with that. But I'm maybe people like us attach too far more weight to what the captaincy entails than within the group itself, that maybe they don't quite see it on those levels. But I don't think you'll find a Galway supporter in the 700 there the last day, or the thousands that'll be other days, would find any issue with the choice of captain or vice captain. I don't know why Daithí Burke, do you just rotate this? Did he want it or not want it? Or we don't know. We can only guess to that regard. But maybe we're placing a bigger weight on what the captaincy entails in Galway hurling than it is in reality.
I guess it was just a perfect step for to bring Conor forward as captain, particularly after last year. He was Galway's sole All-Star and deservedly so in 2023.
Yeah, he's such an experienced player. I mean, what is he, 27, I think now. He's heading into, I think, it's about his ninth season.
Yeah, which is crazy to think of.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. Like, he came through 2015. Anthony Cunningham produced him out of nowhere. If I remember correctly, he was superb in a challenge match, and they threw him in against, was it in against Cork,
Yeah, the
and
quarter
he
final,
left
yeah.
it at home with it. And even the goal he got last Saturday. Like,
Yeah.
it was, I'm sure people who endured the traffic coming from the other side of town said, gosh, it was worth coming here to see that. I mean, it just, it's class, absolutely class. And he can do that against the best teams in the country as well, right through with it. And, as I said, I think it's a big, I think for a club, I think clubs should take enormous pride in one of theirs being asked to captain. That's why I just think it was an opportunity missed last week that they could have just built up a bit of momentum around his captaincy, a bit of momentum around the start of Galway's league campaign, and just develop that from that, because it's a good story. It's not something to be hiding or doing any of that. And I don't think it'll probably make a blind bit of difference to his performance levels, which in fairness have always been extraordinarily high for Galway, consistently high. And he's a marked man when he goes out there as well, but he has the touches, and it's again, really looking forward to seeing him next Sunday and going from there with it. But he's the go-to guy in the Galway forwards, without a shadow of a doubt in that. So he's an armband as well in it, and he can move from there.
Another key performance after his injury struggles last year. We have touched on a lot of positives, but Jason Flynn, after just being injury hampered last year, 2-2 at the weekend, a big positive to have him back fit again.
Absolutely. And it probably should have been 4-2,
Yeah.
and probably a bit more in it. He looks so fit. He really, really looks so fit. And you can only imagine, given the injury that we were talking about earlier and what he's had to contend with, you can only imagine the level of effort it has taken to get to that level of fitness and to work through it. And not like one thing doing it collectively, but I would imagine players like that have an awful lot of sacrifices to make privately to get back into all of that. And his touch for the goal, all of that was fabulous. His penalty was horridly poor. I'd have done better myself. But he's sharp, and there's if you have the likes of O'Shea, or the likes, we'll say, Cathal Mannion when he comes back and stuff like that, or Gavin Lee, feeding that sort of ball into a very big and very mobile full forward. But again, we need to see it. It's Tipperary. We need to see it against Limerick, see where it is. But it's a very positive outlook, and hopefully it can be delivered upon, and hopefully the goals start coming. Like, these the few matches I've seen in Walsh Cup and everything, like, he could get a bag full at this stage. He could be well into double figures for or beyond for the year so far, and we're only 5 weeks into it.
Just something I want to touch on, John, before we look at the Tipperary game. We did mention we can't take much out of that game, really, but there is positives there, obviously, with Galway's 31-point win. But you've been at a lot of the games now between Walsh Cup and League. Are you beginning to see an Eamonn O'Shea influence on this team yet?
I don't think so, to be honest. I think where you will see the Eamonn O'Shea influence will be in the likes of a Thurles, in the likes of those at that higher level with it. There's a good management team already in place with Galway coming up there. I think I did think there was a bit of there's a more short passing game being tried out there. Or is it just because you're playing weaker teams? There's a bit more space. There's a bit looser within that.
It
I think
definitely does feel like there's been an emphasis on diagonal balls into the full forward line from looking at it.
absolutely, but should not that I
Yeah.
don't think you needed Eamonn O'Shea to come
Yeah.
in to tell you the best way to open up a hurling attack. Like, even back when I was playing, it was sort of you stayed in your position and it was man and man. It was all diagonal, right half back, heads left half forward. It's the most obvious way in it. So I don't think you need Eamonn O'Shea to come in to tell you this is the best way to go there. I remember one time, I'm trying to think who it was, interviewing one of the Tipperary players, and in asking him to sum up the impact Eamonn O'Shea had had, and I think it was back when he was the coach rather than the manager in the first lot. And he said it just feels like he has a philosophy: take the goals and the points will come. It just seemed, look, goals win matches, and you've got to find a way to get in there. And it's fine scoring 25 or 30 points, but it's usually the one goal you get that'll make that difference in it, or the two or three, or any of this sort of stuff. And I think that's where you will see his impact will be coming up towards that sort of, you're going down the home track against Wexford or Kilkenny in the Leinster Championship, and you need a big score, and suddenly you'll see something like that, whether it's a rehearsed movement, whether it's just go with the instinct of it, that you will, that's when you'll say, geez, O'Shea has had an influence on that. I think that's where it'll be, that level, it'll be the top of the pyramid stuff. I think you'll see that impact, not Walsh Cup or one-sided
Yep.
league matches. This brilliant guy to have on board, brilliant, brilliant guy to have. Anyone that's ever trained under him, played with him, played alongside him would tell you he just operates at a bit of a different level that makes all the difference come that. So you've a very good, very, very good mix in that Galway management. So you have a lot of components in management. You've Johnny O'Connor now in doing all the physical stuff as well, and just even the impact and the experience he brings to all of that as well, and just a different voice and just a different approach to it. And I worked with Johnny in Connacht, and they have a seriously good guy in there as well, and I just think he would bring a different emphasis, and can bring both from Arsenal, with Galway United, there's a lot of there, and you need that sort of mix of DNA within a group as well. And I think we see more of that coming from that crossover from other sports. It has to be helpful. It can't be harmful. I don't see where it could be. So you have a lot of components there, and a lot to be excited about, I think, for Galway, to be quite honest. We just need meaningful fixtures to start seeing how much progress has been made. Are they lining up for a tilt at Limerick? What is progress this year? Is a Leinster Championship?
What's progress for you?
I think Leinster Championship is the bare minimum. I really, really do. You're into year three of a manager, into year three of the most successful hurler of all time. A league is a league, certainly. I think Leinster Championship has to be the minimum. But I think by the time it comes to winning that, you'll have a better indication of where exactly Limerick are. And that's the first thing everyone needs to find out, is where have Limerick come back a bit closer to the pack, or are they moving out in it? And who else, that guy, who else is moving? We've all seen the brilliant Cork underage teams, and we're hearing the rhetoric of, they're starting to come through. Actually, I saw one of them brilliantly playing for Munster the other day, or for Ireland. But so we've seen that in Galway. We've seen brilliant minor and brilliant under 20 teams ad nauseam. There's no guarantee it's going to happen with a Cork. Will Tip come? Clare looked the part yesterday, first week in February. So I think by the time Galway get to that concluding stage of a Leinster Championship, we'll have a better idea of what else is happening around the country that will sort of dictate whether winning Leinster would be enough, or whether you actually need really to have a right tilt at the All-Ireland in order to see what success is. If you have, we'll say, Tip, Cork, Clare and Limerick flying it right through, maybe you're saying to yourself, geez, Leinster Championship would be a great year, and consolidated more for next year within that. But at this point, you'd sort of say anything less than a Leinster Championship. And that's what makes that bloody late goal last year such a pity, because you would have got that,
Yeah.
you'd have set the bar at that level already. Whereas that hasn't quite happened. And you're probably going to be meeting a Kilkenny team, and a Wexford team that's come through a better league campaign in terms of the quality of matches they have. But I suppose that's what we've to look forward to for the next 2 months in particular. That's going to tell us a lot, and see where we are. And that starts next Sunday in Thurles for Galway. That's the reality of it.
You mentioned games to look forward to. I'm already excited by the prospect of this Sunday. It's the live game, obviously, on TG Cahir as well, so for Galway fans who can't make it. But Eamon O'Shea returning to Tip, The TIP players were interviewed against Dublin after a win over the weekend, and they referenced that they underperformed against Galway last year. So that's still obviously at the back of their mind when Galway did dump them out in the All-Ireland quarter-final. There's already a rivalry there. Now, I know it's early in the year, but there's like no matter when Galway and TIP play, there's always going to be a bite to it.
Well, yeah, and I think particularly at the moment as well, because the reality of it is that in terms of progress levels, Tip and Galway are probably in or around the same level. They've genuine ambitions of provincial and beyond it aspirations, and both of them justified in that regard. And it's a big year for Liam Cahill as well in that. I don't think the Éamonn O'Shea factor, I don't think it's that big to be, but this is not Mickey Hart playing against Tyrone. Like Eamon has managed Tipperary, he's coached them, he is, big killer on McDonagh man, but at the same time he's lived in Galway for the last 20 years, 30 years or whatever. It's not, I don't think it's not that sort of level of going back in. It's not like John Kiely managing Tipperary to go playing against Limerick in a few years' time or something like that. I think like there, I think he is huge. I don't think I know he's hugely respected in his own native county, and they will be wondering what he is going to bring to Galway in that regard. But I think Tipperary have more than enough to be worried about themselves and where their level of progress is at this year. Galway is one of their opponents, not their main one or anything like it. They're looking closer to home in terms of Munster Championship, first of all, Clare, Waterford, Cork, Limerick. There's only three of them coming out of it at the end of the day. Galway, they're in a different parish to them in that regard. Yes, first test, they fairly ran through Dublin on Saturday. That was still a better level of opposition that Tipperary placed than what Galway did. And they're in Semple Stadium, and they've only a couple of games as well, so they need to make them count on it. The Éamonn O'Shea thing will be there, but I don't think it's major, quite a major factor in it. There's always been, as long as I can recall, there's always been a good Tip Galway rivalry. And at the moment I think they're probably both around the same level, and that sort of adds to it. So whoever wins Sunday will get a decent lift out of it. So there's a lot at stake in that.
There's almost a lot of momentum that can kind of start to build with Galway this weekend if they're to get a result down in Tip against Thurles, because I think you have to break then and then they go to Antrim.
Yeah, and if all of that happened, you were probably looking at then sitting on 6 points heading in facing Limerick and Dublin. You're looking at potential league final. You have all of that going in your favour. The reverse of that, you're going to Antrim with just 2 points under your belt. You're going up there. You know what you're going to get up in it. And there's certainly no guarantee of anything within that as well. So in terms of league part of it and momentum, there's another added part to that. I think over and above anything, performance is probably going to be more important next Sunday than the actual outcome. If you get a good, fast, hard game and both teams are able to live with that, of course the outcome is important, but not to that level of, there is still plenty of room to pick up the points at that. I think what go down there and produce a flat performance and sneak a win at the end, I think would be not the desired outcome in any shape or form. You're getting one of the few high tempo games you're going to get before championship, and I think that's both of them would want that. Dare I say it, you probably need that from the outset. You probably need a good row at the start, but probably wouldn't do any harm to just get them. The blood going in to get the tempo off that rather than go through the motions of a league match. But I think the billing of it, it's Sunday afternoon, it's there's a lot of added part to that. Tip have obviously something from last year as well, and I think you'll get a different level of game. And that's all the more reason that I think we'll be a little bit wiser by Sunday night as to where this whole group under Henry Shefflin is actually moving, and what we might be looking forward to in 2024. At the moment, there's an awful lot of positivity to look forward to, but it's none of it is road tested. I think that will change in Thurles on Sunday, and hopefully it does. Hopefully it does. I just think we just need you just you need a bang to get into this season. You know, there's a bit of going through the motions of Walsh Cup and one-sided league games or whatever, and it needs a bit more. Galway need a bit more in it, and hopefully get the performance and get the win. Happy days if all of that transpires.
We've seen some more senior players come on the last day in that second half as the game got going, Conor Whelan in particular. Still uncertainty whether it might be too soon for the Thomas's players next week, because Shefflin did mention some of them have just picked up a few niggles. But do you expect to see more of the senior front runners back for Thurles on Sunday?
I don't, to be honest, on two counts. One, it's going to be a long year for the Thomas's lads right through in it, and particularly, you know, the likes of a David Burke and indeed the likes of a Conor Cooney as well. I honestly think that if you're going to bring players in and play them in Walsh Cup and play them all that, you've got to keep the nucleus of that and see what they're made of against a Tipperary or whatever. So I would imagine it won't be dissimilar to what actually played last weekend. I think you'll probably have a likes of Conor Whelan starting, but I think you could see an awful lot of that starting 15, and I think you should, because you're not going to know whether TJ Brennan is your long term fullback unless you put him out in Thurles next Sunday. Like, what message are you sending out if you leave him in the subs and you have to start the high Burke and you're going for the win at, like, similarly the Don O'Shea's, the Gavin Lees, all the, you know, you got to give them the, dare I say, you got to give them the opportunity to fail, or you got to give them the opportunity to show they can cut it at this level with it. So I would think, you know, you might see a couple of changes. Who knows what anybody picks up in Fitzgibbon this week or anything else like that. But I think it'll be very similar to actually what played last weekend, and I hope it does, because we need to see these lads. You know, not cast them away and bring them back for the Antrim game, and, you know, maybe where there's a handy one in Leinster or something like that. Go out and see, you know, see who the tall poppies are, and see who blossoms in it. So I would think Shefflin is looking forward to actually throwing them into a bit in at the deep end in that regard. So I would think it'd be very similar to last Saturday. There's plenty hurling thereafter for the Thomases. None of those Thomases lads that need to prove themselves. You know, maybe Gerald Kelly. I mean, that's a, I'm you mentioned there if he's through in it, but, you know, the Fintan Burkes, any of these kind of, they've nothing. You know what you're going to get from them when you do slot them in with it. So, you know, they're probably soon enough coming back towards that Limerick Dublin part of it and into Championship from there. They're not young lads either, you know, and Fintan Burke would be, but you look at his injury profile as well. You know, he's recovered from serious injuries. You know, no need, and there is no need. Like, you look at what's there in that squad at the moment. I would think they'll, as I said, I could see Conor Whelan starting, and other than that, I think he could be going with a lot of what was out there last Saturday.
Yeah, particularly we had Fintan on the podcast last week, and he talked last year with Galway how he struggled with a hamstring injury for most of last year. So I don't think they're going to be taking any risks like
Yeah.
that for the weekend. But Galway obviously facing Tip now next in round two of the National Hurling League. That's 3:45 on Sunday, the game live on TG Cahir. That's all we do have time for on today's podcast. Thanks a million to John for coming on.